Whether it's her first Mother's Day or her 40th, she deserves more. Shop tons of stunning on-trend jewelry for every budget at Diamonds Direct. Diamond fashion jewelry, beautiful birthstones, everyday pearls, starting at just $200. Commemorate the real loves of her life with a gorgeous pendant featuring the birthstone of the one who made her mom. This Mother's Day, Diamonds Direct has everything you need to say thank you. Diamonds Direct, your love, our passion. Online at DiamondsDirect.com.
Looking for hair removal tools that not only deliver smooth results, but also empower you with a sense of complete control? Enter Conair Girl Bomb, your secret weapons for smooth, sleek results, made just for women. From the ultimate Girl Bomb grip and professional-grade blades, you don't have to compromise and settle for less. Conair Girl Bomb equips you with the precision and power previously reserved for men's grooming tools. So take your hair removal routine to the next level with Conair Girl Bomb. Available at ConairGirlBomb.com or a retailer near you.
I'm Stephanie J. Block.
And I'm Mary Lee Fairbanks.
And we host Stages Podcast.
Binge close to 100 episodes. Hear the inside stories from backstage and behind the scenes as we go beyond the resume and into the heart of creativity and what it really takes to be in the business of show business.
Don't miss our chats with this season's Tony nominees. If you love theater and entertainment, you are going to love Stages Podcast.
Subscribe to Stages Podcast wherever you listen to your podcasts and visit us at stagespodcast.net.
Bring a little optimism into your life with The Bright Side, a new kind of daily podcast from Hello Sunshine, hosted by me, Danielle Robay.
And me, Simone Boyce. Every weekday, we're bringing you conversations about culture, the latest trends, inspiration, and so much more.
I am so excited about this podcast, The Bright Side. You guys are giving people a chance to shine a light on their lives, shine a light on a little advice that they want to share.
Listen to The Bright Side on America's number one podcast network, iHeart. Open your free iHeart app and search The Bright Side.
Hey, I'm Jay Shetty, and I'm the host of On Purpose. This week, I talked to Tiffany Haddish in a hilarious, deep, thoughtful interview where we dive into family trauma, grief, sobriety, love, and dating.
I got a big heart, and I'm very forgiving, but like, don't abuse it. It's been abused enough.
Listen to On Purpose with Jay Shetty on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcast, or wherever you get your podcasts. Trust me, you won't want to miss this one.
The Nikki Glaser Podcast.
Here's Nikki.
Here I am. It's Nikki Glaser. Welcome to the show, everyone. It's the Nikki Glaser Podcast. Welcome, old listeners, new listeners, besties that we've had from the beginning, people that started listening to me in the U-Up days, people that started listening to me in the Not Safe podcast days, people that started listening to me in the You Had to Be There podcast days. I have many people tuning into this show, and we welcome them all, even if it's your day one bestie, which could be, this could be your day one. Welcome to the show. I'm here with my co-host, Andrew Collin, who is always in studio with me when he can be. Most of the time we are together. We're in St. Louis, Missouri, which is where I live, even though a lot of people think that my reality show is a lie.
And that it's cool that I'm talking to a hologram. Look at you, Miss LA.
The technology now is so good.
Miss LA on your couch.
They
outside.
Got the bags under my eyes, even. Like the people we hired for this hologram. I'm in St. Louis with Andrew in my apartment in the studio of our podcast that my mom designed and that our besties have provided a lot of the artwork on the wall. Check out us on YouTube if you want to see that artwork changing every day. Just put up a lot of new stuff, like a yarn piece. Above my, right above me by the cozy wall on Instagram. She is a tried and true bestie that makes amazing, gorgeous yarn pieces that I always admire when I see them in other women's houses on Instagram. And I'm always like, my sister has a lot of these in her house. And I'm just like, that is the mark of a girl who like has good, knows good interior design, like a beautiful yarn piece that the cozy wall can make for you. She's out of Vancouver. Andrew Collin is here. He's up from some floor. Like, he comes up about 9 floors.
Yeah, 9 every day.
In the building. Noah is in Arizona, across the cunch. And I said cunch. Makes it a little more fun. And then
it's cunchy.
She's like the cunt across the cunch. And I say that lovingly. I'm trying to repurpose cunt as instead of bitch. Noah, you were about to say something as we were about to start the show. And I said, save it for the pod. And you thought I might forget. But what did you want to say?
Okay, so I didn't watch Welcome Home, Nikki Glaser, last night, because I went to a concert. And I went to see the band Carcass. Very good band.
Sounds
I watched inviting. It this morning. I watched it before the show this morning, before the pod.
You're
and there
a
was
dichotomy. Yeah. You've seen Carcass. No one says, I went to go see the band Carcass. Like with the her voice.
Yeah. It's usually, I went to fucking Carcass and stapled my dick.
Yeah. But it's, I went to go see Carcass. I had a lovely time. We sat in the orchestra section of Carcass.
I started bleeding pretty bad because I was moshing.
Yes.
And then I stepped on this guy with stilettos on his throat.
Yep.
And it was like weird.
We had a lovely time at Carcass. And
were you guys
it was
there
a very
too?
Romantic evening for me and my boyfriend at Carcass.
Yeah.
Who opened for Carcass?
Date night. The band Immolation.
Immolation. Okay.
These band names are the best, man.
Shout out to band names across the country. Okay, so what if a band was called Band Name? Okay, so you didn't watch Welcome Home, Nikki Glaser? Question mark until today.
Until this morning after I finished show prep. And okay, so this week's episode, a lot of the theme was about your family and your loved ones seeing you on stage and seeing your act.
Yes.
And in one of the testimonials, you were talking about how, you know, it's not so much that your mom doesn't like your material or anything like that, but it's about what she thinks other people will perceive you. Will perceive about you.
My mom constantly, and even in the episode, you see my mom say, but I just like to watch them. I like to watch them, and I just can't believe how many people love you. She's always shocked at why that really hurts. You see it in the. There's a testimonial with me and my mom together, and you see me go, they like me, Mom. They really like me. And she goes, they do. I just can't believe it. And you see a little hurt in me because she doesn't understand why I'm hurt by that, that her shock that people like me could be hurt. But, you know, I've accepted it, and my mom just doesn't think people will be into this thing. I have another thing to say on this. Noah, what was your question?
So my question is, in the last couple of weeks, we were talking a lot about you writing music or starting something new or posting something on Instagram, and your apprehensions about it are because of what others will think about you, other people's perception of you.
Yeah.
And even though we kind of alluded to, oh, it comes from growing up or that, you know, I wonder if you've like really made that strong connection of, oh, it's definitely my mom has been telling me this all my life. Be careful what other people think. And, you know,
I have made that connection. However, I do believe that I appreciate that my mom is honest, that she cares so much what other people think. I think that most women, I don't want to make this a woman issue, but I do believe that we all care about what other people think of us. And that's why I like that book, The Courage to Be Disliked, so much. I don't, my mom's thing is like, she wants them to think different. My mom wants I can only guess what she wants, but I think my mom would like people to think of her a different way than she actually is. So she would like them to think something of her that isn't true, that it, like she's perfect, even though she knows she's not. But she would like to give the appearance like the house always looks like this. Whereas I get angry when I have to be something fake that I know I'm not to get people to like me, because I realize like I can't keep this up and that's not me. And I get really sad, but I think the thing that I worry about is that people might misinterpret who I am. Like if someone sees my mom's dirty house, they might think she has a dirty house sometimes, which is true. But what I get worried about, if I post something on Instagram that seems like I think I'm cool, or like I'm worried that people might get an impression of me, not that is like, oh, Nikki looks fat in that picture, or Nikki looks tired or whatever, which is true. My worry is that they're going to think Nikki thinks she's cool, which I do not think. I don't want them to think something that isn't true of me, whereas my mom would like them to think something different of her, if that makes
Interesting.
Sense.
I mean, I guess it's
hurt,
the idea of your mom cleaning her house and then it's like overly clean. So she wants them to see, she wants to think, oh, she's the cleanest person.
Perfect. And maybe she knows she's not.
When she knows she's not. And
that's
how
she would
the
like
opposite.
To be too.
That's the opposite.
She would like to be that too, which we all would like to be a cleaner version of ourselves. I don't mean to say all of us, but I think most people would like to be a slightly better version than themselves.
It's true.
What I was really hurt, like, I got to be honest with you guys. And
I haven't seen the fourth episode.
It's really good. I think you'll really like it.
It's
You're really,
really
funny
good,
in it. You have some good lines and moments. What I felt sad about, which I did not know, was that I always thought my mom would enjoy me if I wasn't her daughter. You know, like she would enjoy my comedy if I wasn't her daughter. Me being her daughter makes her go, oh, it's hard to listen to. But she said in it, if Nikki wasn't my daughter, I wouldn't go to her shows, which was different than what I thought. I really did think like my mom would probably like my sense of humor if I know it's a little crass for her. She's not into blue stuff as much, but I think that she would see me on TV and like me if I wasn't her daughter. But the truth is my mom would not like my humor. She wouldn't have any interest in going to see me if I wasn't her daughter, which hurts to hear.
That's tough.
Yeah.
That is tough.
But I mean, don't take it offensively because I know that I'm funny and I know that clearly people do enjoy me. It just, I don't understand why why my mom doesn't laugh at my stuff. Like why my mom can't see what I'm doing is funny or important.
I think there's certain jokes that your mom probably would pick that she likes better than others. Like my mom, funny, like if I talk about, you know, helping some kid suck his own dick, my mom isn't going to go, man, I love that. I love what you do with that. You know what I mean?
But like it's the one
even
about
if it's true and honest and a real part.
Percentage points.
Yeah, percentage. Oh, that's the best joke
Andrew,
ever.
Andrew, you were on stage the other night and I went live with my mom in Montclair, New Jersey. And she was in Europe. And I was like, Mom, I'm about to go on stage. Any requests? I think I said this on the, and she couldn't think of one joke. One joke. I mean, I'm not asking her to be specific. Like she could actually say the one about dogs and I'd be like, oh, thanks for listening. She could put, I have a joke about everything. She could have said, she could have looked around the room and gone, lamp. I love lamp. Like she could have, you know, Anchorman.
She corralled it. Yeah.
And I would have been like, thanks mom. Oh, I'll do the lamp bit. You know, it was just the fact that she couldn't think of anything.
It would have been funny though if she went lamp and you go, what's that?
I would have been okay. And I would have been like, what is it, mom? What's specific about it? I'm just
like, what do I do? What's minute three of that? No, I get what you're saying. It is hard to, but you know, also as a stand up, it's very personal. You're very personal on stage. So you're like, oh, my mom doesn't like who I am, as opposed to like, you know, someone like Danny McBride can joke about, you know, being on a jet ski and fucking a girl with herpes. And his mom is probably like, I don't love that scene, but that's not you. You're acting. You wrote that with other people.
Yes.
It was in a script. It's a show. But you, on the other hand, are talking about things that are very personal. So when your mother, it's like, oh, you don't like me as a person almost.
Uh-huh.
As opposed to like if it was just, you know, your art.
And I realize like there are a lot of things that I do that my, it's not for my parents. You know, like I'm always shocked when people my parents' age, and so are my parents, come to the show and they're like, we love Nikki. And like, I'm like, see, these 7-year-old people like me. I'm a comedian because I watched my dad watch Wendy Liebman and laugh at like the joke of, I recently quit smoking crack. And I remember my dad laughing at the joke and I'm like, I got to do that. I remember, you know, and when there's something about Mary, my dad took me to go see that. And he laughed at the scene where they're like, you need to date a new guy or whatever. And she's like, it's okay. I still have a vibrator. And my dad laughed at that. I remember when my dad read out loud in the New York Times, I didn't even know who Sarah Silverman was, but he was like, he laughed out loud at this joke. And he's like, I got to read this. I'm sorry if it's a little like not appropriate. And it was, you know, I was molested by my doctor, which as a Jewish girl is so bittersweet. And I remember him laughing at that, being like, that is so goddamn funny. And I didn't know what that meant. Those were moments where I was like, I want to do that. Mm-hmm. You know, like I need to do whatever's making, my dad always laughed at women. Like he, you know, he loves male comics too, but that was like, oh, that's how I can make my dad like me so much.
Well, those jokes, too, are very left-turny, setup punch, old school, I guess you would call it, like, da-da-da-da-da-da, ba-ba-ba, like, you don't expect it, it may be.
Yes, I agree with you, but I also think that was a new form. Kevin Nealon, Wendy Lehman were the first ones to do the, like, little slide.
But you had a lot of jokes, those sleight-of-hand kind of jokes back in the day where they were very, like, set. That's what I'm saying, like, so that was, like, more for your parents.
Even in my special, I lost my virginity at age 21, I didn't have sex until I was 21. I didn't have consensual sex until I was 25. Like the word, like just adding a little word, making it different. But
you guys are looking at a very technical, because it's interesting because you are using comedy to connect with your dad who, you know, exposed you and you had this connection. But I feel like comedy with how you connect with your mom, it's more of like a rebellion thing.
Yes.
Going against her need for like being perfect.
Approval. It's totally, and, you know, Noah, it's exactly that. It's like seeking my dad's approval while at the same time doing something that a lot of people go, ew, which is my mom's worst fear of something thinking
so you
ew
lean
about
into
me.
That.
When I joined the GSA in high school, I'll never forget my mom, you know, in high school, gay people weren't, there was no gay people in my high school. Weirdly, we got no gay people. Just, you know, who crazy
the
that those,
straight,
what are the odds?
Kirkwood people.
Yes. But in 2002, there was not, kids were not coming out in, at least in St. Louis, in like the, you know, liberal schools. They weren't coming out yet. You didn't have any gay people in your high school class either,
no
right?
No one came out.
We had
no
GLAAD in my school, the club.
Yeah. We had GSA, it was this Gay Straight Alliance, and it was so.
That was the name of the gay kid.
It was a big thing. It was. GLAAD. His name is GLAAD.
It's just a nice, I like that name.
For Gladys. Name. I actually want to name a daughter Gladys because I think it's such a funny
it's
old
name. It's a badass
name.
Yeah.
It has a Y. I just like that. It looks like Gladys. So,
sorry, you were
I just
saying,
remember
oh,
my
yeah,
mom,
no one coming out and...
I wanted to join the GSA because it was such a cool way to rebel that was like, but this is a thing. It's school. I just know a lot of parents don't like it and I want to join it because I know it's right. I know what it stands for is right. And it's not actually breaking any rules. And I remember my mom being like, people are going to think you're gay, which, you know, back then was a different thing. And she just didn't want me to be bullied or whatever, or different, really different. And I just remember saying like, mom, I represent the S. And she goes, oh, you're going to walk around the school? Oh, because I go, mom, we're the S. Me and Taylor used to go, we're the S, the GSA, and make an S with her hands. And she go, are you walking around like that all day? She's going, I'm the S, I'm the S. How are people going to know? And I'm like, I hope they think of, I mean, the famous story that I've told a bunch, and I used to do a bit about, I once came out to my mom as gay when she was blackout drunk, and I knew she wouldn't remember the next day just so I could see her real reaction because I knew she would be upset about it. And I loved my mom being upset about something that I knew I couldn't help. I knew gay people couldn't help being gay. So like, she can't be mad at me about this. So I remember as a bit, I came out to my mom in front of my friends. My mom was drunk enough that I knew she wouldn't remember it the next day because I had done my research as a child. And she, and I said, mom, I'm gay. And she goes, your dad and I have known for so long. She twists. And I was like, I'm not. She's like, Nikki, no. Oh God, we have known for so long. And I was like, but I'm not. And she's like, it's okay. We are fine with it. We have thought about it. We get it. And I was just, so it backfired. But
yeah,
that's true.
Yeah, that's so funny. She's like, look, we already set up another room for you.
Something so, yeah, we've already, we're building an addition to the house so you can't touch our things. No, there was.
I had moments like that too. I had a drunk mom where it's like, I knew she wasn't going to remember things in the morning.
Oh, God. And I would say the worst things to my mom.
I mean, it's just so funny when you have conversations with a parent that is an alcoholic and you know they're not going to remember it. So, I don't know. It's something as a kid where I wasn't even drinking yet. So you don't really understand alcohol.
I didn't know. Yes, I didn't. I didn't learn that I could say whatever I wanted and they wouldn't remember the next day because I had done this. I mean, I would go on to blackout throughout my life and understand that feeling. But at the time, I figured out through trial and error of like, mom, last night you said this, and seeing her realize there's no recollection, I was like, oh, mom has what then, grandma has. But
dementia.
Yeah.
Alcohol dementia. Yeah. It is interesting too, because it's like you bring it up and then they go, well, I didn't say that. And then you go, okay, well, I think you did. Like, I have memories of like things that I think she said when she was drunk, but because she was in such denial about it, because she didn't really remember it.
Right.
So you can deny it.
Yes. Yes. It didn't happen to you. And yes, and that's, you know, that's a classic example of like, you know, when someone, not just like someone who's drinking or like someone, even when like, I always remember when someone grabbed my ass at a bar and I got like, I told some people and the guy
got
confronted
like
about it. And he goes, he's like, I didn't grab your ass. He was like almost disgusted at the idea that he grabbed my ass. And I was like so embarrassed. Like, oh my God, I can't believe I thought you did that. And then in your head, you rewrite what happened. You're like, maybe he did just like, he was, you know, a goose walked by.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, like, I don't know. Yeah. Maybe they do let ducks in this bar or whatever. And it's grab my butt. But like you just get embarrassed when someone goes, no, I didn't. You start to go, maybe you didn't. Maybe I am
so
making
quick
this
to
up.
Apologize for someone else's mistake.
Well, because I think it goes back to how I feel when I post something online. Like there's a secret part of me that thinks I might be a bad person, that I might be out for people to think I'm cool, that I might be out to like hurt other people to get my way. And so when someone calls and goes, I didn't grab your ass. You're just wanting to make me an ass grabber. Like I go, maybe I am. Oh. Maybe I do think I'm cool and that my butt's so great. Like you're right. Like I'm okay. Never mind. Sorry.
Just kidding.
Yeah, and then I quickly want to just like throw it under the bus.
I guess you could say duality, our favorite word from last week. But I get that. I'll put up a photo of me looking good, and then I'll write a funny caption to take away of me trying to be attractive. And one person will comment, hey, I see you. I see that you. This is a very attractive photo. You don't need to write this three fucking paragraph.
Chris and I wanted to start an Instagram account that was private that's just called Calling You Out. And we just write under people. We write the caption. We write what we know this person's trying to do with this picture. And it's just called Calling You Out. And it's so mean because everyone's just trying to survive and not be... There's a bullyish part of myself that wants to call out people. I really have to like be better about when I get mad about people being that I just... know that inside they think they're not cool at all, and I just should be nicer about it because this is all they can do.
And we do the same thing. Like,
oh my God, yes.
The reason why I can see it, and I think same with you, is like we can see how people, what they're really saying, because we have the same brain as that person, and we're so ingrained in and in touch with it where we self-destroy ourselves, where we can see it in other people.
Yes.
It's the same thing with roasting, why you're so good at roasting, why I can think of the darkest shit about people because I think about myself.
Yeah.
It's like...
Whenever people say mean things, I'm always like, you think I haven't thought this about myself? Good luck trying to come up with something I haven't said to myself. I mean, honestly, there's probably nothing. I've said the meanest things to myself that when someone does say something that I haven't said to myself... it usually doesn't ring true in any way for me because I've covered everything that is true for me.
Or they do call it out and it's like, this was the first negative thing I ever thought about. This is 1,000 negative things ago.
Yeah.
That was the first thing on the
list. Oh, like- we're so far ahead of this, buddy. Me, like, you know, my forehead being big, that was brought to my attention in 2007. It has become so much worse since. There's so many other things on my face that you can make fun of. That is so minimal.
Duh.
Yeah. Yeah.
No, we were making fun of duh earlier.
Duh.
I
mean,
when did that come out? Early 90s?
Duh. Maybe? I mean,
where did that start? That was huge.
I think it's something that people that have mental issues say instead of speaking. And I think it probably originated from like that kind of thing we used to do with our hand on our chest.
I had an interesting thing on a flight with someone with mental issues last night. I guess
we could go to break and then hear about it when you come back. And you can tell us about your experience looking at yourself in the mirror in the bathroom. All right.
Duh.
We'll be right back with Mar.
Wait, that's not good.
Andrew!
I'm coming downtown from the uptown area, from the hot girl to the low girls all the way.
Man, this never ends.
Are you looking for some amazing TV to stream? Well, sink into your couch and indulge with the hits on Hulu you can't miss. We're talking some of the greatest comedies of all time. Absolute must-watch shows. Dive in with Barney, Ted, Robin, and the crew in How I Met Your Mother. All 9 seasons of How I Met Your Mother are now streaming on Hulu right now. One of my favorite shows ever. And I mean, don't you want to know how he met their mother? Then go back home with the Dumfies, the Pritchetts, and the Pritchett Tuckers in Modern Family. Then you can start over with the Roses on Schitt's Creek. And then see what's up in the Kyle household in My Wife and Kids. We're talking every episode and every season of these shows. We're talking huge hits, streaming on Hulu whenever you're in the mood. I mean, can you even watch all of this? We think so. Head on over to Hulu and start streaming today. Now we're talking.
Tired of hair removal tools that just don't cut it? Conair Girl Bomb gives you smooth, flawless results while putting you firmly in control. From achieving that silky smooth skin to boosting your inner confidence, Conair Girl Bomb is all about helping you elevate your self-care game. Whether it's creating a hype playlist, throwing yourself into a hobby, or scheduling some me time, self-care is important to keeping you feeling confident and empowered. It's time to take your hair removal routine to the next level. You can trust Conair Girl Bomb to get the job done right. Conair Girl Bomb gives you the secret weapons for achieving powerful results with ease. Designed with women in mind, these tools boast the Sassy Girl Bomb Grip for unparalleled handling and precision, along with professional-grade blades to deliver results that you used to only get from men's tools. No more compromising. So, to all you incredible women out there, treat yourself to a little Conair Girl Bomb magic. Don't settle for anything less than perfection. Elevate your grooming game with Conair Girl Bomb. Available now at ConairGirlBomb.com or a retailer near you.
This is Neil Strauss, host of the Tenderfoot TV True Crime Podcast, To Live and Die in L.A. I'm here to tell you about the new podcast I've been undercover investigating for the last year and a half. It's called To Die For. Here's a clip.
All these girls were sent out into the world, and they were told, try to meet important men, try to attach yourself to important men.
The voice you're hearing is a Russian model agent telling me about spies sent out to seduce men with political power.
The war in Ukraine is also being fought by all these girls that are all over important cities.
For the first time, a military-trained seduction spy reveals how the Russian government turns sex and love into a deadly weapon.
If you want to kill your target, it's easy. You just seduce him, take him somewhere, start having sex, and then he's very vulnerable, so you can kill him easily.
To Die For is available now. Listen for free on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Danielle Moody here, host of the Woke AF Daily podcast. We've been with iHeart's Outspoken Network for a year, and what a year it has been. Every weekday, I navigate our rapidly changing world alongside our series of fabulous expert guests. As we head deeper into 2024 and yet another life-changing election cycle, Woke AF Daily is here to keep you sane and woke. Woke not just to the latest headlines, but also to the collective power we all have. Woke to the need to build community with those around us. Woke to how to avoid burnout, and woke to the ways we can all find joy in the madness. Make Woke AF Daily with Danielle Moody your podcast destination for 2024 election news and analysis. And tune in to hear the ways I am working to stay grounded amidst it all. Listen to Woke AF Daily Season 5 on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Tamika D. Mallory.
And it's your boy, my son, the General.
And we are your hosts of TMI. New year, new name, new energy, but...
same old us. Oh, yeah.
And catch us every Wednesday on the Black Effect Network, breaking down social and civil rights issues, pop culture, and politics in hopes of pushing our culture forward to make the world a better place for generations to come. But that's not all. We will also have special guests to add their thoughts on the topics, as well as break down different political issues with local activists in their community. If you like to be informed and to expand your thoughts, listen to TMI on the Black Effect Podcast Network, iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
That's right.
All right, we're back. What happened to you on the plane?
Okay, so we flew Southwest. We were like C5, C6. We forgot to check sign in.
Yeah.
It was an empty enough flight where we kept going. We got our own row. Me and Brenna were flying together. Got our own row. There was a mentally challenged person sitting in the front, in front of us with her mom. And
Brenna, how old?
Probably 25 or so.
An adult, yeah.
So Brenna moves to the center seat to sit next to me, but still wanting obviously the aisle seat to be open. The handicapped girl comes back from the bathroom and just sits
next to Brenna.
Next to Brenna, and we don't want to make us anyone
so
else.
She sat in the wrong seat.
She sat in the wrong seat.
And was she goes, in the aisle in the front, in front of you?
No, she was in the window.
Oh,
but I didn't want to.
Did her person that was with her say anything? Or
well, she didn't see her. She was behind her. So we didn't. I didn't know whether to tap the mom on the shoulder to go, "Hey," because I didn't. We didn't care. We didn't. We yeah, obviously didn't.
Yeah, it's open seating.
We didn't want to make a big deal of it at all.
Yeah.
But we also were like, "Hey, we kind of want the row still to like lay down."
Yeah.
So it was just like an interesting like
dynamic.
If it
was not mentally handicapped person, you would just go, "Hey, I think you were sitting there."
Yeah. Yeah. Wrong seat.
Yeah.
So it was just like one of those. I had the same kind of thing at the wedding. I went to a wedding.
Wait, so what happened though?
Oh, sorry. Yeah. That's it.
That's all.
That's all, folks.
The plane crashed.
That's a whole nother thing. It was the worst flight of our lives. Mm. It was fucking you flew yes whatever. Anyways. So we didn't say anything. Eventually the mom was like, where, like just
looking.
Went on looking after 10 minutes, and like, oh, her daughter's turned around and she's like, and obviously, if we said something, it wouldn't have been a big deal just to tap the mom on the
shoulder.
No,
but it would have been like, it's a problem that she's here. You thought it was going to be like
Yes.
And then the mom would be like, why is it a problem that she's sitting next to you? She wants to.
It's open seating.
Yeah. Yeah.
It was that whole thing.
Yes.
So we just like, so that was.
So at the wedding.
And then at the wedding, there was, we all know the guy that takes over the dance floor. You've made fun of him in a special. I don't know. Did it come out in a special?
It didn't. No, I didn't talk about it in a special. But yeah, yeah, yeah.
But the guy that does the
like
worm.
The worm at the wedding. And like everyone has to move out of the way because this guy has to have his moment where he is the only talent that he had in college. And he doesn't really do it anymore. And he doesn't have the upper body strength because he doesn't go to weddings. He hasn't been working out. But he has the muscle memory of the worm from college when it was like his thing.
Yeah, it's not even like a worm anymore. It's just like a dead caterpillar. Like,
yeah,
it's a
drowned worm. Like one of that you find floating in the puddle that's still twitching a little bit and you go, should I rescue it? But it looks bloated. Gotcha. Okay. So this guy's clearing the, is he mentally?
No. He's
there.
He is
a bigger man.
Overweight, gay, black man who I can't even explain how many times he shoved me to be on the dance, like literally getting shoved for him to be the center of attention.
Why were you in this way? Were you trying to be the center?
I swear to God.
I don't think you were. That's not my MO. Vibe.
Maybe in my early 20s, mm-hmm. my Jagerbomb days, I would try to take over the dance floor. I swear.
Why wouldn't you just get away from this guy?
The dance floor was only so big.
Oh, okay, gotcha.
And I'm getting, I'm not the only one that was getting shoved. And like, it's one thing when you're the worm guy. Where you want everyone involved in worming. Let's all worm together.
Yeah, or let's like cheer me on as I worm. It's like a group effort.
Yeah, let's become worms together. It felt very, I'm the star.
It's his garden. He's the only worm in this garden.
He's the only worm, and he's eating a lot of grass. Mm-hmm. And if you get in his way, he's going to mow you down.
So he was just, was he checking you? Was he in meaning to bump into you, think?
I think it was just, he was so, this is his element. Like, this is his Super Bowl is, a lot of people go to weddings because they gear up.
That's the thing I was most excited about this wedding this weekend was dancing.
Yeah, but you want to dance with, you don't want to.
But I'm just saying, I understand that this is about, but some people treat it as like, this is my chance to shine.
Yeah. I mean, at one point brings out.
Usually it's the bride who feels that way.
You would think.
Yeah.
You would think the bride had a great time. Hannah had a great time. He brought out a chair one time to give a lap dance to a woman, like
this
overly
guy?
Aggressive. Yeah, yeah. Like,
wait, to Hannah or to just any woman?
Another woman.
Wait, did anyone ask for this?
I don't know if it was asked for. All I know is he was trying to have fun, but if it's a group thing, I'm all for it.
This person lacks social and self-awareness. Yeah. Probably.
And then it's like, it goes back to like, I keep getting bumped and I'm just like, if I make a scene here, I'm going to not look like
the coolest guy because this person is clearly, there's not a lot of gay people there. There's probably not a lot of black people there. You're singling out the one gay black guy. It's like, yeah, this is a mostly thin, white, straight wedding.
And here I am yelling at the overweight gay black man.
Yeah.
Because
it's not a good look.
It wouldn't be a good look. Even if it was a fun fight dance.
Even if it's open
dance.
Seating.
Yeah.
Even if it's Southwest.
Even if it's an open dance floor.
Yeah.
So what do you do? I didn't do anything.
You just quietly stir and talk about it on a podcast on Monday.
Yeah. That's exactly what I was just going to Brenna. I was just like, I want to, like, why can't I say, I get why I can't, but also, and I know.
What
these,
would you have said? Let's play
it
out.
I don't even know. I mean, I get bumped. I get bumped again. I go, hey, man, I'm just trying to fucking dance, okay? Can you not bump me?
Okay.
So aggressive.
That's not the best approach because that's very aggressive.
Oh. I thought we were just acting.
Well, I was actually putting you in the scenario to see what you would say.
That's how they do it in
therapy.
Yeah.
Go back to the
scene. I would dial it down a little bit. Okay. I'm dancing. Hey, can you? Hey, man, I'm just trying to.
What? What? It's loud. Huh?
I'm trying to. You've bumped me a few times. It's no big deal.
I bumped you.
It's not a big deal. But just
well,
can
I'm
you
dancing.
No, I know you're dancing, but it seems like you're like. Can you just maybe pay attention to other people?
I'm calling the ACLU.
Please don't.
I'm just kidding. No, I think you know what? There's many times in this, and this isn't just a thing where you go. It's about, you know, race or whatever. Like you think you're going to get deemed a racist or a sexist, whatever it is, there's a lot of times where you don't say something because it's a bigger hassle to say something than it is to not say something. And, you know, I was giving this example when I do meet and greets and someone touches me inappropriately. It's a bigger thing. I have to stay around that person longer if I go, will you please not touch me there? This is a little tight. Why are you grabbing my boob? Then they go, I didn't know. And then I have to go, and they'll go, I'm not the type of guy that does that. Like, I am so embarrassed. Then all of a sudden Matt gets involved. Then yeah, you get involved. Yeah, then that guy goes away and he's being, now he's getting ornery and he won't leave because he's misunderstood and he's embarrassed that he got caught. Then eventually I have to go, sir, it's okay. I just didn't like it. And he'll go, that's not who I am. Then I have to talk to this man for probably 10 more minutes and have to listen to him apologize and then apologize to him for taking his thing the wrong way. And it's like, because people can't, when they get confronted, they get defensive instantly. Well, it's never their fault.
I mean, I had a moment like that on the subway years ago.
I'm the same way.
Where there was a, I believe to be a Middle Eastern man. He was holding a briefcase that was like metal, which is obviously fine, but he was looking at his watch, doing a countdown to himself while holding this briefcase with a very stern, sweaty look, which if by all accounts would be what a bomber would probably look like if you had to cast it. And he's going, you know, in his native tongue, like looking at his watch, holding the briefcase,
and
counting
it down.
And I'm saying
cast it if you're like a racist, like stereotypical caster. Don't come at me for being like, why would you cast him if he was like that?
Yeah. So he's going da 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 da, right? And like really stern, and like no one else is seeing that. And I'm like, am I imagining this? And then I go, if I call this guy out and go, I think he has a bomb. He has a bomb. I would. And then he doesn't. He goes, what are you doing? I'm just.
So many times we don't say things because we don't want to look stupid. We don't want to look racist. We don't want to look.
Yes.
You know.
So what I did is I
got off at the next stop and let other people go deal with it.
Before I
did. I've done that before on the train too. Happened to me on the train too.
Before I did that, I stood. Talk about how dumb I am. I turned my back and I like arched. Because I felt like...
If the explosion comes, you want to arch your back and give into it.
I wanted to go with the bomb.
I would give anything for footage of you arching your back.
I wanted to go with the bomb.
Oh, my God.
And then I got off on, like, 42nd.
And just kept checking your phone to see if there were any alerts. Oh, my God.
Well, you see something, say something is not easy, man.
Well, dude, I was on a plane waiting for the bathroom at the very back of the plane, and I saw a guy with his laptop out, and he had his laptop out, and it was the controls to a 747. It was like the cockpit, like a simulation of the cockpit.
What?
And he looks shady. He's in the back. No one's paying attention. It's dark, and he's like going over the controls, and I was like, oh, my God. And then I saw he was wearing shorts, and I was like, we're fine.
Wait. I think you kill yourself. You're wearing shorts. You finally don't care.
No.
Why did shorts make you feel okay?
For some reason, him wearing shorts, I go, this guy's not a terrorist. I relaxed. And he was too obvious about it. I'm like, he would have his screen dim. He would not be practicing in the back. Like, you go through of like how obvious this would look. But I have always said there's so many times where women do not get attacked or they don't want to be rude. They don't want to, you know, say, I feel unsafe right now because that might make that guy feel uncomfortable, white, black, whatever he is. It might make the person uncomfortable to be like, I don't want to help you find your dog right now. Or I don't want to help you carry this thing to your car, injured man. Because even though you have this sneaking little voice in your back of your head that goes, he could kill you. Yeah. You just go, that's too embarrassing. You know, the classic story, I humiliated myself when I ran away from a guy that I thought was going to murder me. He didn't murder me, and I was embarrassed when he didn't. But that's insane to be embarrassed. Like, I'm so sorry you didn't murder me. But I thought I was, and I honored that fear. But sometimes that fear is based on racist stereotypes. And so it's difficult.
Yeah, maybe there's maybe there's a TED Talk on this. Maybe there's something.
I'm sure there
kind of information out there of like how to address something that you're afraid of without coming up.
I mean, I'm sure black people deal with it all the time.
Oh, I'm
like
sure.
A woman crossing the street.
Or a white cop. They see a white cop who seems angry. They probably feel the same way. And then you go, hey, this white cop seems a little racist. Oh, well, how do you know? What are you doing? He's not racist. Like that fucking horrible thing that happened in Buffalo. I'm sure so many times people, like this kid was on the FBI list or some shit. Mm-hmm. Or CIA, And then they were like,
oh my God, I'm reading this fucking Columbine book. I can't even believe it. It's so fucking good.
Well, you know, there was the shooting.
Yes. Yeah. Oh, yeah. I mean, I've got to wait 25 years to read a book about that. But I'm really backed up with my mass shootings and all the information I can glean. I'm like, I can't hear anything about this. I'm in the middle of Columbine.
Yeah. You don't want to mess it up.
No, that is. It's,
but I'm sure someone saw this motherfucker at some point
and was like, that looks like a bag that has a gun in it.
But a white guy with an AK-47, you go, he's just having fun doing his.
Why does an 18-year-old need to buy a Bushmaster? Like, why do you? But the thing is, I was asking Chris that yesterday. I go, why would?
What's a Bushmaster?
It's like a gun. Well, it sounds terrible, but I think it's like a gun that like can kill a lot of like an AK-47. Oh, okay. Like it's a weapon that is not used typically for like hunting animals or whatever. Yes. It's like, and he goes, I go, target practice. The only thing is target practice. Why don't we stop doing target? Like,
what are we target? Yeah, what are we trying to
Why
hit?
Does anyone need that kind of gun? What is an 18-year-old boy that has a, you know, a web blog about with, and, you know, if you have a manifest, you should Google someone's name if they have a manifesto online. How about they don't get sold a gun? But we're so beyond that. It's insane.
I mean, you
I was watching.
It's also the FBI. I mean, they let a bunch of gymnasts get molested for years, and they failed at that. You know,
dude, that's Columbine, like,
just failures.
Eric
everywhere.
Harris.
They all
he had
knew.
Been reported 20 times to the local, and there was an affidavit for a search warrant because there was speculation that he was building pipe bombs. That was never followed up on. So, and then Columbine covered that up forever. You know, the police force covered that up, that there was ever calls in, and like, there's all this, they knew. But, you know, think how many times it doesn't turn into a school shooting and they go, this is a waste of our, kids are building things. These are like false reports. It's just.
How much of it is laziness? How many times
Dude, this Columbine book,
is it
though,
false report?
So fucking good.
Like, how many other reports are they getting though? Like, that's what I want to know. I want to know how many other kids are getting called on 20 times? Like, that has to be an anomaly, right? Like,
yes. I mean, like, it's
so
bad.
Is it the boy that cried wolf, essentially? Like, oh, here's Eric, whatever, again,
well,
doing whatever.
The family that reported him 20 times.
Yes.
They, in the post, you know, in the weeks after Columbine, they were actually being targeted as they knew. And they should, and they're like, we tried to do something, and it was like, nobody, and they only knew because their son was friends with him. That's how they knew. And so then they turned into like, you were probably your son was an accomplice. So they were ones that were trying to prevent it before it ever happened. And they ended up being.
So why do you know this inside information? Well, because
that book is so damn good. I know, like, I'm a morbid person who likes to read about this kind of stuff, but I did not know how. Great. Whatever this guy, I'm going to find whatever else he's written. It's so good. But speaking of things that you should consume, my show, fourth episode aired last night, and it was so freaking good. We have to get to the news, but it was me going to, it was us going to Chicago, going to the Bird Place, and then us doing a show, me worrying about doing bits in front of my parents, and Chris and my parents are in the balcony.
I remember like
those
yesterday.
Muppets from it. Like, they are so well lit. I had to skip past that part. I couldn't watch it because I just didn't want to watch what they had to hear. And then, it's a good episode, though. It's really funny. I mean, I look bad in a lot of scenes. I'm just like, oh boy. It was my purpose to look bad. Like, not my purpose, but I didn't try to look great. And it just doesn't.
It's you rebelling against your mom again.
I just am like.
Right? Like, the whole idea of her cleaning the house.
Yeah.
You're like, I'm just going to show who I am.
Yeah.
I'm not going to be cool or K.
Oh, boy.
I got called out for being.
Age is scary. Yeah. Wait. Okay.
For K. For the truck, but whatever.
Oh, for that. I mean, that was supposed to be K. That was a joke.
Of course.
Yeah. You can't get called K for that.
I got K to K.
Let's get to the news, and then we'll talk a little bit more about. We'll cover the wedding all throughout the weddings. We didn't even get to.
Yeah, we got
to
get
my
to
wedding.
Your wedding.
Well, not my real wedding, but the one I went to this weekend. We both went. It was a wedding weekend. Let's get to the news.
You heard it here first. You heard it here first. Yeah, you heard it here first.
You heard it here first. Apparently, hopefully, you heard it. I hope you had a great weekend. We had a wedding weekend. We had all the swells, except for a couple things there. And then, it was all the swells, though. Hope you had all the swells. And. You know, it's swelling up. Everybody swells over there.
Oh,
if you're
God.
Getting too swelly, don't worry about
Let's
it.
Let's just get to the news. Noah.
Back to you, Noah.
All right. Well, tell me if you saw this trend happening at the weddings you were at this weekend. Move over, duck pout. It's all about dead face.
Dead eyes. Dead face.
Oh. Influencers are adopting a disassociative gaze with rolled eyes and a blank expression because it lets them express beauty ironically.
Yeah, I mean, beauty ironically is kuh. It's like being beautiful while you're not trying to look beautiful. What is it? Let me see it. No, that looks like you just finished a race.
Okay, so what do you want more? Sexier than that?
Like I think close your mouth.
Well, let me see what you got. Oh, okay, close your mouth.
Or if you open it, you just kind of, you don't stick your tongue out like you are. You just go like.
Okay, so half dead.
So do it. Roll your, like stop mid-roll. Don't roll your eyes full. There you go, yeah. Just kind of like, yeah, dead eyes, dead face. Yeah, I see this all
zombie
the time.
Zombie head. Yeah,
yeah, it's you look cute if you're young and you look like, oh, I'm playing dead because I'm so far from death. But the older you get, you shouldn't be doing dead face because you're close to the grave, honey. Yeah.
It's like a young person wearing mom jeans.
Yes. Yeah, where it's ironically because you're
ironic,
yeah,
dead
or if
face.
You're wearing like an old man sweater, you're like a darling little. It just exemplifies how young you are because it looks so different.
Yes,
that's so funny.
No, I didn't see this at the wedding. I saw I was completely overdressed, so overdressed. I bought two dresses from Reformation based on Brenna got hers. I bought them a size too big, so they looked like I was. part of some like Mormon coming of age ceremony in those. So I trashed those. The only thing that fit me was this dress that it was far too dressy, but it was so cute. I mean, it just looked like I was trying to be like the center of attention. It was just too much. It was at a country club. It was just a nice reception outside and mine was like a sparkly pink dress and it was just too much. And I felt like if I saw myself, I'd be like, she wants us all to know she's on TV. She's got to stand out. And it just was a little like, but in the end, but I got a lot of compliments and I would always say I overdressed. I know I did. It's the only thing that fit me. And yeah, but it's still such a cute dress. Loved my look. And yeah, there was, I did a roast at the beginning of it with Chris. Chris and I roasted Tim and his bride. And that was really fun. We wrote roast jokes on the way up. And that was well received. I danced a lot. There was a good band called Entourage that played the wedding if you're getting married in the Skokie, Illinois area.
That's where my mom's from.
Oh, really?
Skokie.
It's such a, only heard that word, like, or
Usual
that town
suspects?
As a joke, Skokie. Skokie, Illinois. It just seems like such a punchline.
In Usual Suspects, that's how he finds out who Kaiser Soshe is. It's one of those things.
Spoiler alert, yeah.
It was a band in a quartet in Skokie, Illinois, and he like put it together. And my mom was born and raised, it's a big Jewish population.
What was your favorite part of the wedding?
It was a great wedding. Like, other than, like, it was a lot of reality show people. So like, everyone wanted to be the star.
Yes,
that was
God.
The only thing. But other than that, like, the family, the speeches were phenomenal. They were all from the heart. They were great speeches. They weren't, like, overdone.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know. Like, I loved that.
Good food.
Good food. It was on the beach. The weather was shitty, but it kind of like the opposites played well.
Yeah. Were their vows so romantic and sweet?
Quick vows.
Oh, good.
I love a quick.
Yes.
The priest, judge, was very funny.
Oh, good.
But like, maybe overly, like trying to.
But did a good job.
Yeah, all in all, a little bit of drama.
Was there partying afterwards?
There was, but got out.
Got out.
Early.
You didn't do it.
Didn't go.
Because it required you to be drunk in a way that you weren't.
I didn't
want to
do
it. Enjoy it. Yes.
And we were staying
a little
40
drama.
Minutes away.
Yeah,
it was drama. A lot of dance crying going on.
Dance crying. People crying while dancing?
Yeah.
Only happened to, there was a nephew at the thing that was, he was 3. And he was crying, and I picked him up to comfort him.
Yeah.
And everyone saw me with him and would go, what did you do to him? And I'm like, I'm comfort. He was crying before I picked him up. Like, but everyone, and then he kept crying more because everyone that looked at him would go, oh no, and give him that face of like, oh, and then he feels like he's an idiot for crying. So
yes.
I was just trying to like get him away from people so I could be like, oh, let's look at this. To like, because I think when a lot of times when kids cry, like, yes, they want attention, which he was getting from me. I was holding him. He wanted to be in my arms. Like, he gave into it. And then as soon as I held him, everyone looked at me like I was the one making him crying, like that I was, like, preventing him from going to find his mom or whatever. But it wasn't that. I was, like, actually, I could feel him, like, relieved in my arms. And then suddenly everyone's coming up being like, what's wrong? And he felt so embarrassed. And then eventually he just, like, runs out of my arms. And I'm like, God, I was so close.
Look at this woman dressed up, fancier than everyone else. Holding a crying nephew. Nice.
There were a lot of fans there. A girl, Sassy, shout out to Sassy. She's a bestie. I was walking by, and it was funny because as soon as people got a little bit more booze in them, they were more comfortable, like, being like, hey, I like you, or like, I know you, or whatever. But Sassy, I walked by her. She was so cute. She was the one at the wedding that I was like, I bet she dated Chris or something, because she's so beautiful. And, like, I wonder how they all know her, like, This one's one to watch. Like, she was just so hot. I was like, I love her dress. I love everything about her. I was, like, a little bit, like, jealous. Like, oh, she probably hates me because she probably thinks I'm, like, trying to actually... I'm not as cute as she is. I don't know. I was projecting a lot. So much. I was just like, she probably hates me because she's, like, the cutest one here, and I'm probably getting more attention because I'm, like, a dumb reality celebrity, when really she should be the center of attention because she's, like, really hot. And then I was walking by her, and she just goes, bestie. And I go, oh, and she was like, I'm so embarrassed. But I, like, and then she showed me her text thread, and she had sent, like, a mysterious picture that she snuck from, like, she was behind me being like, there she is. Like, she was such a fan. So shout out to Sassy. I'm sorry I assume so much about you, but you're just hot and pretty. Next story.
You got to take a dead face picture with her next time.
Oh my God, yes.
Okay, this is a story submitted by Bestie Eric. A Canadian university is offering a course about Taylor Swift and her literary legacy.
Ooh. So
if you're a student at Queen's University in Ontario,
I will be in the fall.
You can try and get into a new course where you can study Swift's music, the literature she references, her films, and her music videos. And apparently the topic of the cultural studies course changes each year. So these people are just lucky to have that as a subject.
I think it's a great move for universities to have a Taylor Swift course. It gets in people. Swifties are diehard. There's a lot in high school right now. You'll get attention. You'll get press. People will enroll. Like, these classes, there's a lot of this going on right now with Swift.
Yeah, I would have loved,
there's a new one every week.
Even though in college I cheated on everything and didn't really go to class, but there was, like, a class on Tom Petty.
Oh, yeah.
I mean,
I took a jazz class, and all we did was watch Ken Burns' jazz series, and it was awesome. Awesome. I loved it.
Oh, you didn't have to learn any music theory?
No. Just learned about the history of jazz. And then there was supplemental things that we had to do for it as well. But I loved any kind of class like that. What you really do is learn how to analyze art, which is it's just a good thing to do to be smarter, I think, is to learn how to analyze and write about art and how to take it apart.
I also think as a kid, like a teenager, like even in college, like some of this poetry, it's too much. Like, with these, like, double entendre, all that shit. You know, like, I don't need, I just want, give
poetry
me.
Poetry really, like.
I love poetry if it's.
If it's bottle throttle. Simple rhymes.
Simple rhymes. A-B-A-B. Yes. Iambic pentameter.
Yeah.
That's what I like. I don't need to, like, you know, I don't want to put it together.
Yep.
Give it, and I feel like Taylor Swift, she does that a little bit, but usually you get it.
She's got so many things going on that you don't even know.
Really?
Oh, she's talking in all these little twists and turns and calling back to things that you didn't, like, the depth of what she's capable of is insane.
All right, so it's intentional when she puts that music, it's intentional?
Or do people put it on that? Like, do people...
You know, there's sometimes people are like, well, she included 13 letters in this one... you know, verse. And then in the next one, it's 5 letters. And then the next one is 13. That means that on 5/13, she's going to be releasing this. Like, so people do go crazy about stuff, but there's a lot that she does that I go, whoa, this girl is thinking, she's thinking on another level.
Yeah.
Man, there was this one clip about Kendrick Lamar. He does this song about, I forget what it's about, but it's about just the numerology that happens within it, of like the things he's talking about, the number of verses that add up to the number of things. And it is like, you know, your mind does like a beautiful mind like tricks. Like, this guy broke it down of all the numerology that's happening within it, and it's insane. I'll save it. I'll do a Reddit on it.
Can that guy break down She Hits the Bottom?
I know. I just, as an artist, I just go, God, I am just not, when I see stuff like that where they're doing cryptic things, yeah, where it's like this sub meaning of this is referencing back to this, and then you add these up and then it equals this, and that's not going to pay off until the third album, which she knew was coming in. I am just really not, I'm an idiot. I don't do anything special like that. Mine's very just simple, just is what it, there's no.
I mean, how many comics though are like not filling in the blanks for people? I mean, there is that alternative comedy where it's like, we're not doing jokes, we're, you should understand it just how it is, or based off an attitude or.
And I think sometimes though, artists though don't intentionally do it, in that by observing art, you can actually sense something that's going on in this artist's life that they didn't even intend to tell you, and you can get it right about it, which I think is very interesting, because you could, if they go on to study my stuff, they'll be able to find things about me that I didn't even know I was telling people.
Oh, for sure.
Know,
that will
maybe pay off in later works that I wasn't even able to see at the time. But like, oh, she was foreshadowing this. But it's like, no, I wasn't. I just didn't know what was going on. Yeah, yeah. There's this thing that keeps popping up for me right now, which is so weird, is that Anya told me, I guess, a couple weeks ago, she was like, you know, Matt was talking about your, Matt Pond, my tour manager, and he's, you know, friend, musician. He was talking about, he was like, you know, Nikki talks about really dirty things and, you know, is really wacky and goofy and gross sometimes. But like, overall, she's very wholesome. Nikki's a wholesome person. And this is the first time I'd ever heard that. Right. She was like, it was just so cute that Matt was like, Nikki's actually really wholesome. She loves her family. Like, she really loves them.
I say that a lot to people because they have I'll have a friend be like, dude, does she like fuck all the time? I'm like, she's so not that, whatever you're getting.
I've never been described as wholesome, but Matt said it. And I've always been trying to communicate, like, I am not what people think of me, but I've never thought of wholesome. I would never describe myself as that. It's almost like the word adorable, where I'm like so flattered people think I'm wholesome. And then it is so weird because I keep hearing wholesome about myself. I'm like, did I talk about it on the podcast? Why do people keep saying wholesome to me? It is a review I've been getting. People write to me and are like, you're so wholesome. I love that your comedy is wholesome. You have a wholesome message. Like, it's, do you ever like start seeing something everywhere and like it takes one thing to unleash it and you get it everywhere? Amy, my friend last night, was like, I love your show. I can watch it with my mom. It's so wholesome. And I go, did you hear me say wholesome and how I like that on the podcast? Did I mention on the podcast that I've been getting that? She's like, no. And I'm like, that is so weird. It's so nice.
Yeah, I've never, I get what you're saying. It's almost like everyone, like, you know how your phone listens to you, but everybody's listening to
you. Yes, yes. Like,
did the message get out? But I do think that the TV show, you know, it is, I mean, compared to what reality TV has become, even if you are saying dirty words or your act or whatever, like, the idea that we're not trying to stab each other in the back and we're not talking to the camera like, this fucking bitch Nikki thinks she's my boss and she's gonna fucking do this, I'm gonna fucking cut her in the
middle.
Season 2. Well, that would be actually pretty cool. Yeah.
No, it is. It's just about,
but you know what I mean? So I think that's coming into your life.
That came through on last night's episode, because even though you were talking about like your act on stage and talking about anal and sucking a dick where it gets to your heart and stuff like that. It's just so funny. In the testimonials, you were also talking about, I haven't slept with anyone except for Chris in like 8 years. It's been 8 years already. And the last two, I've been totally celibate. So,
yes.
You know, that dichotomy or whatever.
And I'm
definitely
not lying on stage. It's just people are not contextualizing it. Like, I talk about sex on stage, but they don't realize it's with the same person. And I, you know,
maybe you say that
they cut.
I know you do say that at some point. Yeah. Sometimes in your act, you'll say,
I do.
I only fucked the same person for 8 years.
But. Yeah. But and they cut the scene with my parents last night. And thank God, because my parents were like, Nikki, you need to have them cut that. I can't believe you said that. My mom was so horrified. But I was like, I feel like a porn star a lot of times with how like embarrassed people are of what I do. Mm-hmm. And they kind of wink at me like, I've seen you. And like, I say that with like, I love porn stars, and I can only imagine what it's like for them to like be proud of their work and have to go out and always act ashamed and have other people act ashamed on behalf of them and have their families be like, well, we can't watch your stuff. It's like, I don't want you to. Just let me. I don't want to go watch you weld shit. You know, like, you don't have to. No, we don't need to talk about my profession all the time.
But it goes back,
like, this bad thing.
It goes back to that feeling, though, that your mother wouldn't want to watch you perform. every porn star probably feels, I mean, it'd be weird if the parents like, I fucking love watching my daughter fuck. But
right.
But like that feeling, like every porn star has that feeling
of
like a parent.
My mom's saying I wouldn't watch any porn. Like that, like my daughter.
Any porn that you.
No. My mom said I wouldn't watch, if she wasn't my daughter, I wouldn't watch her.
Yeah.
So like it wasn't about me, it was about the content. She doesn't like my content. If someone else was doing my content, she would not care to see it.
Oh, okay. So across the board, she wouldn't watch any porn.
No, like, well, it would be my mom.
I get what you're saying.
It would just be my mom being like, I don't like her music, because like my mom being like, if your mom was Cardi B's, if Cardi B's mom said to her, I can't listen to my daughter, not because she's, if she wasn't my daughter, you think your mom would say, if she wasn't my daughter, I would love WAP. But hearing my daughter sing that, it's hard. No, it's like, I wouldn't even like this song if it wasn't you. I just don't like what you do. And as a porn star, my mom doesn't watch porn, so I wouldn't be hurt if my mom was like, I wouldn't watch you even if you weren't my daughter. But when you're a comedian and your mom does like comedians, you're like,
I wasn't me, you still wouldn't like me?
Yeah.
I get what you're saying.
We got to go to break. Let's come back with Why Do I Care?
Your mom being like, I like watching so many other women fuck. Like,
it's not even a daughter issue. It's, if it wasn't you, I just don't like the way you move your hips.
Are you looking for some amazing TV to stream? Well, sink into your couch and indulge with the hits on Hulu you can't miss. We're talking some of the greatest comedies of all time. Absolute must-watch shows. Dive in with Barney, Ted, Robin, and the crew in How I Met Your Mother. All 9 seasons of How I Met Your Mother are now streaming on Hulu right now. One of my favorite shows ever. And I mean, don't you want to know how he met their mother? Then go back home with the Dumfies, the Pritchetts, and the Pritchett-Tuckers in Modern Family. Then you can start over with the Roses on Schitt's Creek. And then see what's up in the Kyle household in My Wife and Kids. We're talking every episode and every season of these shows. We're talking huge hits, streaming on Hulu whenever you're in the mood. I mean, can you even watch all of this? We think so. Head on over to Hulu and start streaming today. Now we're talking.
Tired of hair removal tools that just don't cut it? Conair Girl Bomb gives you smooth, flawless results while putting you firmly in control. From achieving that silky smooth skin to boosting your inner confidence, Conair Girl Bomb is all about helping you elevate your self-care game. Whether it's creating a hype playlist, throwing yourself into a hobby, or scheduling some me time, self-care is important to keeping you feeling confident and empowered. It's time to take your hair removal routine to the next level. You can trust Conair Girl Bomb to get the job done right. Conair Girl Bomb gives you the secret weapons for achieving powerful results with ease. Designed with women in mind, these tools boast the Sassy Girl Bomb Grip for unparalleled handling and precision, along with professional-grade blades to deliver results that you used to only get from men's tools. No more compromising. So, to all you incredible women out there, treat yourself to a little Conair Girl Bomb magic. Don't settle for anything less than perfection. Elevate your grooming game with Conair Girl Bomb. Available now at ConairGirlBomb.com or a retailer near you.
This is Neil Strauss, host of the Tenderfoot TV True Crime Podcast, To Live and Die in LA. I'm here to tell you about the new podcast I've been undercover investigating for the last year and a half. It's called To Die For. Here's a clip.
All these girls were sent out into the world and they were told, try to meet important men, try to attach yourself to important men.
The voice you're hearing is a Russian model agent telling me about spies sent out to seduce men with political power.
The war in Ukraine is also being fought by all these girls that are all over important cities.
For the first time, a military-trained seduction spy reveals how the Russian government turns sex and love into a deadly weapon.
If you want to kill your target, it's easy. You just seduce him, take him somewhere, start having sex, and then he's very vulnerable, so you can kill him easily.
To Die For is available now. Listen for free on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I used to have so many men.
How this beguiling woman in her 50s...
She looked like a million bucks.
...with zero qualifications...
She had a Harvard plaque.
...tricks her way past a wall of lawyers and agents.
She's got all of these Maseratis and Bentleys all in the driveway.
Is it like a mansion?
Yes, it's a mansion. ...that this queen of the con uses to scam some of the biggest names in professional sports out of untold fortunes.
about $6
million. Approximately $11 million.
Nearly $10 million was all gone.
Employing whatever means necessary to bleed her victims dry.
She would probably have sex with one of her clients.
Hide your money in your old rich man, because she is on the prowl.
Listen to Queen of the Con, Season 5, The Athlete Whisperer, on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Tamika D. Mallory.
And it's your boy, my son, the General.
And we are your hosts of TMI. New year, new name, new energy, but...
same old us. Oh, yeah.
And catch us every Wednesday on the Black Effect Network, breaking down social and civil rights issues, pop culture, and politics in hopes of pushing our culture forward to make the world a better place for generations to come. But that's not all. We will also have special guests to add their thoughts on the topics, as well as break down different political issues with local activists in their community. If you like to be informed and to expand your thoughts, listen to TMI on the Black Effect Podcast Network, iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
That's right.
All right. We're back. Why do I care?
We killed so many stories, dude.
Oh, my God. Bam, bam, bam.
Boom, boom, boom.
Boom, boom, boom.
Why do I care? All right. Megan Fox tells a stylist she cut a hole in her blue jumpsuit to have sex with Machine Gun Kelly.
It was hard to get off or something, and they were just like eager. She wasn't going to like wear it out again, right?
It was like this sequin blue. It was very cute jumpsuit. And here's what she wrote to her stylist. Was this blue outfit expensive? Because we just cut a hole in the crotch so we could have sex. And the stylist responded, I hate you, alongside three laughing emojis before adding, I'll fix it.
Okay, so it was probably at the end of the night. Like, she didn't want to take it off. It's so hot to like have sex when you have clothes on. There's something hot about it.
Oh, yeah.
And about destroying property in order to just like get it in and not like just you want it so bad, you know, slid your panties to the side. Like that Jay-Z line in that one song, like, is so hot to me, of just like just disrespecting clothes, someone cutting something off of you, someone ripping it. So yeah, I like it. Like them again.
I do like them. Very cut points, but
yeah, they're cut.
They're very, I go back and forth on whether I hate Machine Gun Kelly or not.
Oh, yeah.
But I do think, like, he just likes this, what he's doing. I don't think it's just for the likes and what you know what I mean? I just think he
might
really
like the likes, though. Like, yes, you might just like the feeling of getting likes, and is that wrong that that's what you like, you know?
Yeah.
Or you like to have people go, he's cool. Like, you might like that. So then is that wrong? Like, I
know. I was
with
watching
that.
A video of him. I showed you this video from back in the day where he's just in a bookstore or whatever, or a music store, and he's just rapping with a backwards hat.
Oh my God, he's
a
so
white
hot
t-shirt, and he fucking owns it. Like, owns it. And you go, well, you're already good enough to be somewhat of a, he wanted to be a star.
Like Kanye wanted to be a fashion icon. He wanted to delve into fashion a bit more. I mean, you change your look up. You're not wearing boots today.
Oh,
but
for
like,
sure.
Just because you once wore dirty tennis shoes doesn't mean like, man, he was himself in those dirty tennis shoes. Why is he wearing boots? Like,
no,
it's like,
I know.
You know, you're allowed to try.
Oh, yeah. I get it. I go through that too of like, yeah, I just want people to like me for me. And why is not me enough? Because we're all human. And on a human level, I should be able to connect with you without going over the top for you having to notice me.
Yes.
But you're like,
but then also wanting to do that so that you get that love, because you realize it is contingent. Like, I was doing I was doing Caitlin Bristow's podcast the other day. She's from, you know, you've had her on your podcast. It's called Off the Vine. I think it's going to be on this week. But at one point, she's like talking about like, you know, and like the people that love you, they're going to love you despite what you look like and despite what you're. And I go, no, there's a part of me that likes you because you're cute. I like your hair. I like your fashion. I like your face. I'm not going to lie, Caitlin. I like you because you're cute.
It's not
good,
the only
this is
reason.
A good poem, by the way.
But I like it.
This poem that you just wrote, the I like, I really love it.
Okay, good. Well, it's leading to another piece that I'm going to do in 7 years about love. And you'll see that I wasn't ready to tackle love at this point in my life because I was struggling with it.
I noticed a 1-3-4 in that.
It was funny, though, to be able to say to her, like, yeah, like, you're not wrong for wanting to have work done on your face or whatever, because we're just trying to get people to like us more, because it actually does get you to, if you're prettier, people like you more. I mean, this is, I've talked about this ad nauseum, but like this whole thing of like, just worry about what's inside. Shut up. People care about the outside. Why do you think people were so fucking mad when my show interrupted the Met Gala? Because you wanted to see what people looked like. We weren't seeing anyone's souls on that carpet. E fans were ravenous for my fucking soul and wanted to behead me because they cut off Met Gala arrivals for my dumb reality show where I'm trying to be more real. It's like, no one wants more real. We like people that look shiny and pretty.
Those people's souls left a long time ago.
Yeah.
That's how they lost the weight. It's a new diet by Kim K. Lose your soul, gain a follower.
Oh, yeah. You lose. How many ounces? Isn't it like 22 ounces? if you lose your soul. That's so funny. There's this new diet. If you're trying to shed that extra little bit of weight, there's a little... It's your inner thigh is where your soul
is. It's called soulless.
Yeah. Soulless cycle. And the whole time you just kick dogs. It helps you get to a place where you have no soul. Okay, let's get to our Monday segment. It's top one, bottom one. We are going to say the top
soulless
one.
Soulless cycle is so funny.
In the bottom one.
Seeing someone pedal enough to, and you just see them fly out each.
But you know that it's like 21 grams or something is the weight of a soul. That's why that one movie is called 21 grams or 20 something grams.
Cocaine or something.
It's about a soul. It's like they've noticed that when bodies die, the soul has apparently some sort of matter, material, weight to it. And it's grams. But for someone to go like, man, if I just become a sociopath, I can fit into these jeans if I lose that extra 22 grams. Okay, top one, bottom one. What's the category?
Did that with my nipples.
Today's category is appliances. All right, appliances. Top one, bottom one.
This was hard. I was looking around my kitchen. I was like, who do I love?
Well, appliances are anything like in your anywhere. Yeah. That is just like things. What's the definition of an appliance? Can you look that up, Noah? Because that is difficult. I was in my bathroom when we came up with this. So I'm looking around my bathroom for stuff.
Oh,
But
bathroom
appliance. I think appliances are, they're everywhere.
Device or piece of equipment designed to perform a specific task, typically a domestic one.
Great. Okay. That
they're
makes
robots.
Sense. They're little
robots. We don't think of them as robots. They're robots.
Okay. So what are we going with? What's your least favorite appliance?
I mean, this was tough, man. I went with the toaster. I'm sorry, buddy.
Just because you don't need it?
I just don't use it. I don't use it. I put you away. I know you're sad in there.
It's always hard to clean the bottom of them.
Yeah. Oh, God.
And I just keep burning
also
the
getting
bits.
The food out of it. It's like, you're getting the bread out. If it's too small a bread, you're just a sad little guy in there. And I'm sorry, but yeah, toaster.
Toaster.
Although Eggos are good in there.
Okay. Well, it seems like you're really torn on this.
No, not that torn. You're toaster. You're down. Stay out. Get out of here. What about you, Noah?
Mine has to be my vacuum cleaner. And the thing specifically about it that I hate, besides the fact that it's so heavy, is that the cord is not retractable. So it constantly gets tied up.
Ugh.
I constantly run over it. It constantly falls off of the handle when I'm trying to carry around the vacuum. It's so inconvenient. I
would have never known a vacuum's an appliance.
Oh, really?
Did you know that?
Yeah. Well, it's helping you.
So a Dutch Buster is an appliance?
It's a domestic task.
What did you think? Why would you think it isn't an appliance?
I literally thought there was maybe eight.
What did you think it was?
Several appliances.
But what? Why wouldn't a vacuum be an appliance? Like what in your mind is an appliance that a vacuum does not?
I didn't
think it was a car, a vehicle?
Huh?
Did you think it was a vehicle?
No, car's not an appliance.
No, the vacuum cleaner. Did you think it was a vehicle?
Yeah, like what would it be if it's not an appliance?
Is a Roomba an appliance?
Yes. But think about what your definition of appliance is that makes that not what like what
Here's
about
the thing,
it?
I didn't know the definition of appliance until Noah just read.
I know, but there was something in your mind though that an appliance was that a vacuum would not fit into.
Everything in the kitchen, and then the washer dryer. Other than that, nothing else applies to that.
Okay. Great. Yeah, that makes sense.
What else is an appliance? What's an appliance in the bathroom? You were saying
hair dryer, my clothes steamer,
keep going.
Curling iron, hair straightener, electric toothbrush.
Is everything an appliance now?
A humidifier, curling rod, those a set of curling things. I don't even. No one even.
Well, I was anymore. This many years old when my life yeah, changed a
when
lot.
You found out.
Great. So okay. Is this an appliance or headphones?
No.
No, okay. Because you microphone? Don't get them in. It has to have like yeah, electricity you, charging it.
Yeah, you have to like, yeah, it has to work on its own.
Computer and appliance?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Well, it's kind of what like an electronic.
Fuck, dude.
Yeah, it's more, yeah, maybe not an appliance. It is a, that's why I asked for the definition. It is murky.
Yeah.
But I will say still my least
fuck you,
favorite.
Toaster.
Yeah, what's your least favorite?
After Nikki? Hearing all that toaster, you're still on the bottom, bitch.
My least favorite appliance is probably the dryer because a dryer. Although it's whoa. So beneficial,
what?
I just don't. The every single part of my like all my clothes get shrunk, no matter what. They all get that like kind of dusty dryer look, and I do clean out the lint thing every single time. I just think dryers ruin clothes, and they never give me. I always convince myself that you know a lot of times you have like a huge packed you know. Washer and everything's wet and you kind of can't tell what's in it and you just convince yourself like this is all good to go in the dryer. I never think let me go piece by piece. I always just go it's fine. I remove the things that are delicates that need to be and I always shrink things and then I give them to Anya because once they're shrunk they would fit her. So I've given many of like a really nice Isabel Marant sweater and or dress to Anya because it just gets shrunk just enough and there's nothing more annoying
cycle?
To me than short sleeves. When a sleeve, that's why I buy all sweatshirts yeah. extra long because I love having like baggy sleeves that I can grip onto. If it even comes up at half an inch above my wrist, I am disgusted by it and then I put it on the, I step on the sleeve and then I pull it.
The other thing with a dryer,
and then
too,
I rip the sleeve. It's a whole mess.
I have a weird kind of shaped body, a little bit weird, where if I buy 33 jeans, I have to wear them a little bit. I do a lot of work to get these jeans to fit my weird body.
Yeah.
And then the dryer goes, hey,
nope.
Dude,
yep.
Remember, you're like, you got to go through it all again,
oh,
bitch.
Oh, man. I love the dryer, though, for jeans that are too big and you want to give them a little tightening. And like, there's some jeans I have that are baggy that have the perfect amount. So, but the dryer has caused me so much self-hatred because I go, other girls' clothes are always so crisp or like so soft, and my dryer just like sucks the like. And don't write to me about fabric softener and all this stuff. I've tried everything. There's something about me that is inherently stained. It's been a while,
since
my clothes are just stiff and gross coming out of the dryer. And
can
it doesn't matter
ask
what dryer.
Can I question about
I have.
The toaster? Because huh. the dryer fighting you back. I didn't even think about the toaster fighting back. If a toaster's plugged in. You're trying to get the Eggo out or a small piece of bread and you go in with a fork or knife. Can
no!
you get electrocuted?
Yes.
Okay.
Don't do that.
Okay. I just wanted to know.
Okay. Favorite top appliance. Yes.
I've
did
been,
you think that was
I've
like something that happens
on the
in,
edge, boy.
In just in cartoons?
Huh? Yeah.
Just turn it off. You can do it once it's off, but unplug it and then you're fine.
All right. Cool.
Yeah. Are you going in the bath with a toaster too?
Oh my
What's
God.
What's going on with
now
you, dude?
This is making sense.
Okay. Go. Top. Electronics, you know, these are things, electricity.
Yeah, okay. All right. Appliance.
Top appliance.
I mean, it's got to be, it's a tie, but I mean, this is so hack, but dishwasher. I lived in New York for 7 years without a dishwasher.
I'll change my answer. Dishwasher is my bottom. Who cares? Don't need it. Never have, never will. Don't like it.
It conserves water.
It does. Yeah,
conserves
I guess.
Water use, yeah.
But I have to wash off every dish before it goes in. I don't want any dish in the dishwasher to have anything on it.
Oh, because you double wash.
No. What?
You wash before a wash.
Right, so it's not conserving water for me. But like, if you put in a dirty dish in the dishwasher, it doesn't always get clean.
If you leave a lot of old shit.
Do you run it every day?
I don't know. Maybe. Now that I'm hearing this, maybe. Maybe the dishwasher
because
has
I
gone
clean
down
my
few...
dishes enough that when they're ready to go in the dishwasher, I go, I've already cleaned this. It's ready to go.
You have cleaned it a little bit.
It's already ready. There's no smudge on it. I don't care about germs, microscopic germs. If I can't see a germ, I don't give a fuck about it. Dishwashers are a waste of space. I run them maybe once every 2 months.
Here's the thing. I didn't have a dishwasher for 7 or 8 years living in New York.
And that's how I got used to not having one.
I know, but now that I have one, I think it's a luxury in my mind.
Really? And emptying it and everything, you do all that? That's so much work.
Yeah, I do.
I don't like it.
I kind of like the process.
Okay.
I'm learning to love the process of cleaning.
Noah, what's your top one? So I can shit all over it.
Yeah. I was just like, damn. I don't know. Maybe the toaster is number one.
That's how much I
think you're
going
to love it. You're not going to shit on it because...
I'm not going to think it's an appliance. I'll tell you that.
Yeah.
Probably not.
Learn something. Yeah.
It's
a pencil?
It's definitely a little bit of a splurge. It's a Nespresso milk frother.
Oh, yeah. That is a good appliance.
Wait, what is it?
Okay, so if froth's hot and cold
that
for iced coffee.
Is not coming in my mouth. I'll tell you that.
Froth? I mean, your mouth is a frother. You put some milk in there, you will get it foaming within minutes. His is lukewarm. You do a cold and a hot, he's got a body temperature.
I could save you a lot of money. You don't need a dishwasher or a frother.
Just put it in your mouth.
Okay.
Just throw it in my mouth.
So if froths oat milk, which, because I don't drink cow's milk, I think it's gross.
Yes.
If froths almond milk, like all like the milk alternatives, and makes it nice and thick for me. And I use it every single day. Yeah,
for
I use it every day.
Mm-hmm. Ugh, I love a frother. That's a good one. I got
an espresso machine recently. That thing's dope.
Yeah, I got one too.
Oh, you do?
Well, we have whatever that is out there. It's the same.
It comes in four. Anyways, go ahead.
Comes in four what? Why didn't you pick
four
that
different
one?
Sizes? Someone bought it for us. So it comes in a little espresso. They come one, two, three, four. So if, depending on how much coffee you want, you get the same amount of caffeine, but
in a
you
smaller
don't...
thing. That's nice. Literally on every single cappuccino machine is the size that you want. And it is based on, you put in one pot, so it's not like it's, I have one out here that does that same thing that you used a million times.
You would think.
My favorite appliance is what I just got. I bought it the other night in the middle of the night. I was fucking so hot. I couldn't sleep. My room would not get below 65 degrees, and I like a good 61, and my room usually does that because it was 90 degrees last week. And so I bought the Bed Jet, which is not a sponsor. I'm not saying they didn't give me any kind of deal. But it's an air conditioner for your bed. And I bought special sheets that you
hook
this. Time out.
Wait, what does it do? So
it is a little tube that comes up the side of the leg of the bed onto the mattress. And it like a vacuum for your car. It has like a little nozzle that attaches to your sheet and blows air into your sheets underneath you to keep you cool at night. So I'm going.
Have you tried it yet?
No, I just bought it the other night.
This is number
one
and you haven't even tried it?
Yeah, I'm so excited about it.
Seems like you're getting ahead of yourself.
It better be worth it. It was $600. I'm just tired of being hot when I sleep. I just don't want to ever be hot again. It just makes my sleep hell.
Are you going to feel like though, like there's a guy under your sheets just blowing on your feet?
Great. that's the added bonus. It whispers
you
to you, too.
You could That's $800. That's exciting.
Who was the guy in the foot? Sorry.
Oh, that guy was, we hired him. Sometimes there are, well, you know, for the episode that it was on last night, there was a guy in Chicago who was massaging my feet backstage. We hired him as like a bit because I'm always like, God, I want a foot massage so bad backstage. And like, it was a bit of me trying to get Andrew to massage my feet. So it was going to be like a thing that paid off more than it did in the episode. It just looked like I had a random guy rubbing my feet backstage. But there was like a storyline behind that didn't end up like coming to fruition. But that is my dream, is to hire a masseuse every place I go. I need a masseuse in St. Louis, by the way. If anyone knows of a good masseuse, I am in desperate need of one.
I was thinking the same thing recently.
I can't deal with this anymore. And I'm telling you, don't give me someone who's going to be gentle. I want deep pressure. I want someone who gets in there. I want someone maybe who uses a tool because I feel bad for your hands.
An appliance.
Yeah, I need an appliance on me.
You would like a guy that probably would be best working in a dungeon who's above ground.
Yeah.
Or is a dungeon below ground?
I think it's an above ground dungeon.
You want an above ground dungeon where the guy doesn't wear leather, but is strong like that. And
doesn't want to like be friends with me.
Yeah.
Just gets in, does the job, leaves.
He doesn't whisper bestie.
Yeah. I would like them to come to me so that I don't have to like get dressed and like get in my car and like see the light afterwards. I just want to like go crawl into bed after I have it to forget that I don't have anyone.
Oh, so you want someone to come to the house.
Final thought. I don't like going to get massages because when I get dressed and I have this intimate, like, hand all over me, massaging me, like, lovingly, and then I have to just, the end of it, I have to get dressed. I have to walk out into, like, the harsh light. I have to, like, get in my car and, like, start my car. Like, then I have to drive. I'm just, like, it's just almost like when you have sex with someone and they're like, okay, leave. And you just are like, well, I thought we were going to hang out. Like, not that I want to hang out with my masseuse. I just want to gently ease into real life again. I don't want to just be thrust back into it.
So you would like an hour of nap time after a massage.
But maybe. I don't want to nap at I don't like those places that go, oh, you can just hang out by the spa and you can just sit in these chairs in the quiet room. I know eventually I'm going to have to get in my car. I want someone to come over and I could just get right into bed and be in my place and you leave.
Ah, okay.
Yeah.
The only thing with an alcohol is like then you have to have a little bit of maybe like awkwardness. Like, where do you want me to set up? Like there could be that
kind
of stuff.
I go right here and then I leave the room and let them set up and then I come back to them. Like it's my panic of having people in my house. Like I just would tell them right here.
Oh, you know what happened?
Hotels.
Oh, yeah. Sorry. I wanted to like yell about this, but now I'm like pretty calm about it. It's the dishwasher thing. No. The I went to rent a car.
Uh-huh.
And I only have a debit card.
Oh, God,
yeah. And they wouldn't rent it to me. And they go, we'll take a deposit of $500 extra. I go, that's fine. I go, I have plenty of money to pay for this car. They go, well, we're going to run a credit check. I go, why are we bringing a credit check into a $600? Like, I'll pay cash. Like, what happened to fucking car companies where debit cards are the devil to them? And they wouldn't rent me the fucking car.
It's after the same I at a took hotel, a shuttle. Too. They don't let you do, you need a credit card at a hotel.
No,
so
they'll,
you can't do a debit card.
They'll do debit
card. Oh, really? They used to not.
Oh, maybe back in the day. But yeah.
Get a credit card.
I know. I know. I mean,
yeah, but I get it. It's annoying.
Hindsight's 35, whatever, you know, 29. Yeah. And so I end up taking an Uber to the Hamptons.
Because you couldn't do it.
But I had a car out there, luckily.
Because
that's
the credit check,
story.
They wouldn't let you after they did a credit check?
They did a credit check. My credit, you want to know what my credit score is? It's like your SAT score.
Yeah.
631. I know that's bad.
It's bad, okay.
But
it's not terrible.
Like, yeah, under 600, I think it's bad. I mean, so I have an okay credit score. I'm willing to pay you an extra $500
and they
deposit.
Still wouldn't do it.
And they still, and then they go, we can't cancel it. I go, well, what do you mean? Well, you did it through a third party. So I call, I have to get on Expedia. God. Then Expedia goes, we can't cancel it. We got to call
them.
The car company.
Jesus Christ.
I go, do I have to work to get a cancel where they wouldn't give me, you know what I mean? It's just like.
That's why so many times I just swallow the cost because I'm not willing to play this back and forth. I just go, the time I would spend on the phone is $300 of my time. So just take it.
That's two guys blowing on your feet cold air.
I know, it's crazy.
Or half a guy.
It's stupid, but I lose a lot of money by just being like, I don't want to deal with the hassle of it. I think these companies make it that way because they know people like me are just like, you know what, forget it.
Oh, they'll put
cares?
It off. Yeah.
Yeah, I just don't want to deal with it.
So I called in the Uber. I got the money back. I ended up actually saving $150 because I used my buddy's truck out in the Hamptons. But we get there, his keys to the truck aren't there. You know what I mean? There's like these like little things where you're like, I'm just going to have a relaxing time. I'm in the Hamptons.
You
I got this thing.
Card.
Yeah.
What has stopped you from getting one? Bad credit. It's like the thing of like, you can't do it if you can't. Yeah. You need to get this thing. But to get this thing, you need a thing to get the thing. Like, how do I get credit? Good credit. You need to get a credit card. How do I get a credit card? Well, you have to have good credit. Well, then what the fuck am I going
to
do?
Well, it's like getting a job and they're like, you need 3 years experience. Well, I need to get a job to get experience.
Yes.
It's an ongoing cycle of like. So I could get a credit card, but you have to pay cash to get the, you know what I mean? Like, you have to give Bank of America like $200 for them to give you a credit card. You got to pay up front for
Holy
this
moly.
Credit card.
Speaking of, I have to return a car. I rented a car for the, not
when?
Rented, but I'm looking for a new car. And so they lent me a Lexus RX for the weekend and I got to return it today. I didn't even have it for part of the weekend because I was in Chicago at that wedding. But I got
to
go return
to like
it
test
today.
Drive it?
Yeah,
to
test
see
drive
if you
it.
Like, did you like
it? I like it a lot. Yeah. I like it a lot. I want to go test drive other stuff. There's other Lexis that I want to try out. And I'm thinking about trying out a 4Runner. I just like a Land Cruiser.
Those are Toyotas, but those are dope.
No, I know. But also there's other Lexuses plus I want to do.
I didn't know
other
if you knew what cars were.
No, I really don't a lot of times, but I do know
that
those are not Lexuses. No, it makes sense that you questioned it. And then, so I got to go do that today. I'm like, oh, God. And now it's going to be awkward because I'm going to be like, thank you. No thanks yet. And the problem is like there was a perfect Lexus I found. It was the color of champagne, which is what I want because no one wants that color. Everyone's thinking that's like an old person's color. I love it. And I found one 2019 Lexus, like RX champagne. Yeah. And I waited because I didn't want to wait because I had to go. I had another date, and it wasn't with a guy, but the kind of date that you just want to sleep in late and you didn't get to, so you have to go take a nap. So I said, no, snap, I'm not going to buy this car. I'll wait till next Monday, and if it's still here, then I'll know it's not too far for me to get another car. But then I checked another car, and it ended up being not the color I want. It's like a cobalt, and I was like, I'm going to cobalt out of this dealership and go try to find the car of my dreams. And just never mind.
Man, that's deep. It hit me in the heart. Sometimes it hits me so hard I don't know where to start. I get sad sometimes at myself when I look in the mirror, because who am I if I'm not Shakira? When I dance, my hips do lie, but do they lie or do they tell the truth? If you look up the numerology, you'll know that I'm the one and you're not.
And, okay, I was really waiting for something to rhyme with ooze.
Poof.
Okay, guys, thank you for listening to the show. We'll be here all week. Thank you for sending news stories, and don't be cut. And
Jackfish. Is it one?
I'm sure there's a jackfish out there. A guy, at least a guy named Jackfish.
Toyota.
Looking for hair removal tools that not only deliver smooth results but also empower you with a sense of complete control? Enter Conair Girl Bomb, your secret weapons for smooth, sleek results made just for women. From the ultimate Girl Bomb grip and professional-grade blades, you don't have to compromise and settle for less. Conair Girl Bomb equips you with the precision and power previously reserved for men's grooming tools. So take your hair removal routine to the next level with Conair Girl Bomb. Available at ConairGirlBomb.com or a retailer near you.
I'm Stephanie J. Block.
And I'm Mary Lee Fairbanks.
And we host Stages Podcast.
Binge close to 100 episodes.
Hear the inside stories from backstage and behind the scenes as we go beyond the resume and into the heart of creativity and what it really takes to be in the business of show business.
Don't miss our chats with this season's Tony nominees. If you love theater and entertainment, you are going to love Stages Podcast.
Subscribe to Stages Podcast wherever you listen to your podcasts and visit us at stagespodcast.net.
Bring a little optimism into your life with The Bright Side, a new kind of daily podcast from Hello Sunshine, hosted by me, Danielle Robay,
and me, Simone Boyce. Every weekday, we're bringing you conversations about culture, the latest trends, inspiration, and so much more.
I am so excited about this podcast, The Bright Side. You guys are giving people a chance to shine a light on their lives, shine a light on a little advice that they want to share.
Listen to The Bright Side on America's number one podcast network, iHeart. Open your free iHeart app and search The Bright Side.
Imagine you ask two people the same 7 questions. I'm Minnie Driver, and this was the idea I set out to explore in my podcast, Mini Questions. This year, we bring a whole new group of guests to answer the same 7 questions, including Courtney Cox, Rob Delaney, Liz Phair, and many, many more. Join me on season 3 of Mini Questions on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your favorite podcasts. 7 questions, limitless answers.
Hey, I'm Jay Shetty, and I'm the host of On Purpose. This week, I talked to Tiffany Haddish in a hilarious, deep, thoughtful interview where we dive into family trauma, grief, sobriety, love, and dating.
I got a big heart, and I'm very forgiving, but, like, don't abuse it. It's been abused enough.
Listen to On Purpose with Jay Shetty on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcast, or wherever you get your podcasts. Trust me, you won't want to miss this one.